Christmas isn't just a time to decorate your house, to spend time with loved ones, and to open long-awaited presents. Christmas is a time to remember. To remember that salvation doesn't come from within, it comes from above. To remember that infinitely better than the magic of Christmas is the miracle of Emmanuel. To remember that God was not and is not untouched by the pain and suffering of this world. To remember that Jesus isn't just part of the Christmas story, but Christmas is part of the Jesus story. To remember that there is no grace without a cross and no cross without a manger. To remember that Jesus doesn't just want us to remember what he did, but to join him in what he is doing. So this year, let the lights remind you of the light of the world who came into darkness for us. Let the gifts remind you of the greatest gift of all. And this year, make your heart like Bethlehem and receive the King.
Amen. Hey, welcome to Christmas week. It's here. You guys are not nearly as excited as you should be. All right, would you stand with us? We're going to go over our vision statement. It's up on the screen here. If you're joining us online for the first time or maybe just coming in to the sanctuary for the first time, we literally do this every single Sunday. We want to be reminded of who we are as a church. So would you read it with me? We desire to be a safe place to be in process, a place where everyone realizes they are in process. None of us have arrived. Guys, this is a place where you can come in and just say, hey, you know what? I don't have it all together, because none of us do, right? But we come to Christ. We come to God. And through his grace that he's shown on the cross, he gives us forgiveness and truth and life, and we can find peace in him. So we're all in process. And here's the other side of it. We all realize we haven't arrived. None of us here are perfect, guys. So you can't look down and say, well, I'm better than so-and-so. It's like, no, that's the wrong attitude. The right attitude is to just say, praise God, he gives us his grace. Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to sing some Christmas songs because it is that season. And then we've got just a beautiful a new worship song that's just all about just praising God, singing the song of heaven, which is how holy is God. So let us pray and then let us begin to sing. So, Lord, we invite you here. God, I pray that as we sing to you in this season of celebrating your birth, that you would come into this room, come into our hearts, speak through even a video online, God. Just begin to move in and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, let's celebrate with joy to the world.
Joy to the world.
Joy to the world.
Joy to the world. The
Amen. Amen. Adore you this morning and sing How Holy Are You, God. We join with the song of heaven this morning. Inhabit our praise, God. Inhabit our praise.
And up above the heavens, eternity, let it rise, let it rise, let it rise. Jesus, we behold you now. We lift our hands and we lay our crowns. The highest praise we bring to you, and let it rise. Let it rise, let it rise. Let it rise, let it rise, let it rise. Thank you. the Father, Spirit, Son. So let her rise, let her rise, let her rise, all praises arise. Let her rise, let her rise, let her rise.
The word holy means set apart, sacred. Oh God, we've come here today to bow before you. God, I pray that you would help us to not allow something that is precious to become familiar. God, you are so precious. We adore you. We honor you. We know that in you we live and move and have our being. God, I pray for anyone that comes in here today with a heavy heart. Maybe it's been a tough week. Thank you that you are close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. Lord, we've come to delight ourselves in the Lord, knowing you will give us the desires of our heart. So God, as we delight in you today, would you satisfy the longings in our heart? Lord, we've come to feast on the abundance of your house and drink from the rivers of your delight. May we find such satisfaction in you that we can't help but invite others to join us at the table. God, we come to admit that our lives are about something bigger than ourselves. We're here not to build our kingdom, which will fade, but your kingdom, which is eternal. Lord, thank you that you are a God of grace when we fall short. It is by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, lest anyone boast. You're also a God of truth. Then you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We love you, Lord. We ask this in your name. Would you please be seated as we move into our time of prayer? If you're new here, this prayer time will give you some prompts, some things to talk to God about. Prayer is simply communicating to God. It's listening to Him. It's talking to Him. I'm going to give you some prayer prompts. And the first prayer prompt is to adore. Luke 2:14 says, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those in whom His favor rests." Let us pray. Lord God, we praise you for sending Jesus to the world. You are full of glory, love, and peace. Just like the angels praised you on Christmas night, we lift our hearts to worship you today. You are holy, and you deserve all of our praise. So let us just take a moment and praise the Lord. Let's adore Him. This is when you focus on His goodness and His grace. Let's take a moment and do that. Our next prayer focus is confession. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Father, we're sorry for the times we've not loved others the way you've asked us to. Forgive us for our selfish thoughts, unkind words, and wrong choices. Thank you for forgiving us through Jesus. Help us to grow and live in a way that honors you. Now, during this time, maybe the Lord would bring some specific sins that you would want to confess to the Lord. The Lord knows about them already, so we can't hide them. And this is where we just confess them to the Lord and ask for His forgiveness. Let us do that now. Next is thanksgiving. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the greatest gift of all, Jesus. Thank you for our families, our homes, and the joy we celebrate during Christmas. We're thankful for your love that never ends and for the hope you give us every day. So take a moment and just tell the Lord what you're grateful for. Let's develop the attitude of gratitude. Finally, a supplication. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Let us pray. Jesus, Prince of Peace, we bring our needs to you. Please comfort those who feel lonely during this season. Help those who are hurting or struggling. Give us peace in our hearts and help us to share your love with others just as you came to love us first. This is where we lift up our daily needs, our daily bread. So let's take a moment and ask the Lord for his help. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Check out our CCC news.
Good morning, CCC family, and happy Christmas week. I'm the high school pastor here. My name is Pastor Owen, and I would just like to say, welcome to church. If this is your first, second, or third time coming to CCC, you'll be handed a Connect card on your way into the service. If you could just fill that out and turn that back into the welcome desk, you'll be given a mug with some awesome secrets inside. We're a very relational church, and we would just love the opportunity to get to know you because you are here on purpose because God has a purpose for you. Let's get into the announcements. Coming up this week is Christmas. Say Christmas with me. Christmas. All right, and we have our Christmas Eve services. These will be at 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and 5 o'clock. Our church will be live streaming the 3 o'clock, as well as we'll also be having childcare for the 1 o'clock service and the 3 o'clock service. This is for ages 0 to 5. So we have childcare in the 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock. So if you're going to be at one of those services, that's for you. Also coming up in January, we're already talking about 2026. On January 12th at 6:30, we will be having a class meeting here at the church called Living with Suicide Loss. So if you know somebody or if you yourself have been through something like this, we will be having a support group that will be meeting at 6:30 on January 12th. If you know somebody, please spread the word because we just want to come behind you and just help support you. Also in January, our church will be going through a church-wide series on the four keys to mental health. If you didn't know, our very own Pastor Steve wrote this book and it has been supported by huge name people that have read his book and just want to get behind it and support it. So our church will be going through this series starting in January, as well as we will also be having process groups going on that will be doing a book study on Pastor Steve's book, The Four Keys to Mental Health. Also, if you have seen out in the gathering grounds, there's a table that says kids and youth. In 2026, we're just trying to vamp up our leadership in that. So if you are interested at all in joining our kids team, our youth team, please see that table out in the gathering grounds for more information. Also, after second service today, we will be doing a farewell get together for Pastor Kelsey, as this is her last Sunday. So this will be after second service. If you just want to stop in, there will be a refreshments card table where you can just go and just say a few words to honor her and support her for the time that she spent here. Lord, increase our faith.
Hello, church. My name is Pastor Rachel, and I am the family ministry pastor at CCC. That means that I have the incredible opportunity of working with CCC kids and CCC youth to provide discipleship opportunities, exciting services, and Christ-centered outreach and events for families in our community. Our family ministries at CCC are in this super exciting season of growth. We have seen an increase in attendance across all age groups between Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. And our team is so thrilled to know that more and more young people are hearing the message of the good news of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. And this has also shown us this new need that we have that is growing to have more adults come alongside us to be a part of the amazing team that gets to mentor young students and share with them the love of Jesus Christ.
Hi, my name is Pam Madiri. Well, serving in the nursery, I've witnessed the children grow in their faith journey. I've also seen older children that were in the nursery and now in the preschool or older grades, they come back. They come back and serve with their families or themselves. But I've also witnessed children coming to the nursery. They're very comfortable. A couple months ago, a few different boys had come in at different times, and one just came in and fell asleep. One, I was reading a book, and they were just comfortable. And so that kind of made me think of, you know, our Heavenly Father, like we are to trust and be in comfort in His care at all times. And I see that in the lives of the children working in the nursery.
All right, well, my name is Carly Sexton, and I have been lucky enough to serve in both of these rooms, in the preschool room here and in the kids through fifth grade room. As I have been working in the preschool room, I also help follow the kiddos into the bigger kids room. So then that's a really interesting pivot to see, like, how they transition from, you know, the fun, super fun and dance in this room to a little bit more serious, a little bit more learning about the stories in the Bible, and, you know, taking the opportunity to grow in their faith while I grow in mine.
I'm Matt Bevis.
I'm Danielle Bevis.
And we serve with CCC Kids on Wednesday night. Serving has been really remarkable. I didn't expect it at all, but honestly, the relationships that I've been able to form with other volunteers through being here have really blessed me and just honestly really shaped my life and the direction of my life going forward.
I would say that people who volunteer here and who work here are some of the nicest, kindest, gentlest souls, and it feels like a warm hug to walk in here and get to know everyone that's here, and they welcome you in with open arms. And so just having those relationships that have been built by being involved has been awesome.
All right, my name is Stephanie Reese, and I am doing the confirmation class at CCC with the eighth graders. I had not intended to serve, and last year Kelsey sent a request, and I was like, well, if she needs help, I'll go. What I didn't know was how I was going to be filled through what I was doing. I also didn't know I was going to be coming up with my own curriculum, which was by my own choice, but it seems to be working really well. And one of my favorite things in this space is that I put out a prayer request, and what I get asked to pray for from week to week really lets you realize why the kids are in the space, why they're learning to have a closer walk with Jesus. And then I get that opportunity to just be a part of their story. And then that impacts me and how I think and look at my kids and what's happening with the kids in the room. So I would really encourage anyone who's interested to come out and spend some time with the youth. It invigorates you, it gets you excited each day, and is really enjoyable.
Hi, my name is Nick Carlson. I've had the pleasure of working with the high school ministry here at CCC for the last 6 years. And it has been truly amazing to see what God is doing in the lives of these students. This day and age is a very difficult time to be navigating your way through high school. And seeing these students supporting each other and turning to God and relying on their faith has been really encouraging and inspiring for me. I would say that anybody who has a love for God, just a heart for serving others, and a desire to help the next generation, that would encourage them to reach out to any of the staff members of the church. And I thank God so much for Pastor Owen, what he's done the last couple of years, how he just puts all of his heart. He just is led by the Holy Spirit, and I appreciate that so much. And I just thank him for all the blessings that he's pouring out into this church, the youth ministry. I can't wait to see what God has in store for the future.
So come learn about Jesus and volunteer and help out.
So if you want to help out in the early childhood, elementary,
youth, or all of the above, sign up or reach out today.
Amen. If you truly want to make a difference, I've found one of the best ways to do that is to serve kids. Really, I mean, you can have an impact on them for the rest of their lives. So if God is calling you to become a part of this ministry, I would highly encourage you to reach out. And, you know, today is Pastor Kelsey's last day as a staff. Now, just to be clear, she's not leaving our church. She's just stepping down from being a staff member. Pastor Kelsey, can I have you come up here? And I just wanted to say a few words. And first of all, maybe you guys don't know how she came on staff, but many, many years ago, I was leading the middle school. Can you imagine that? Well, I used to do everything pretty much in the beginning days. And I asked her if she would consider serving in the middle school ministry, and her response was, "I don't like working with kids." It was something like that, correct? But I think I poured on pastoral guilt, or I'm just kidding. But she ended up just saying, I'll give it a try. And what's interesting is that as she gave it a try, first of all, I saw a gifting. And secondly, she found out she loves kids. And that's a great example of, a lot of times we think, how do I find my spiritual gifts? It's, well, I got to feel like doing something to do it. But Pastor Kelsey just said, I'm going to give it a try. And then that led to her realizing, wow, I actually have a passion for working with kids. And she's been on our staff now for over 10 years. And that is longevity in the pastoral world. So I really appreciate that, Kelsey. And I appreciate your love and connection for kids. I've said this a lot, but Kelsey just has a way of making kids and adults feel special. Your enthusiasm, when you were not at staff meetings, your light was missed, and because she has such an enthusiasm. And she also just loves to learn, and she has such a passion for learning. So I just wanted to thank you again for serving here for the last 10 years. Again, after the second service in Classroom 11, we're going to have a little going away party for her, but I just wanted to just pray for her. And if you feel comfortable, would you just extend your hands? Lord, we thank you for bringing Pastor Kelsey on our team. Thank you for her longevity. Thank you for the many, many lives that you've touched through her, even my own kids. And I just, as she walks into this new season of her life, I pray for your blessing upon her. And God, I just pray that you would just be with her and Isaac and just the whole family, God, and use them for your glory. And thank you for just having her be on our team for this many years. We love you, Lord. We ask this in your name. And everyone said, amen. Let's give her a round of applause. Thank you.
All right. Before I head up to the stage, please take a moment and stand to your feet and greet those around you. It's been a while since I've been up here. I love it. It's good to see all y'all's faces. Well, for those of you, if you don't know, I'm the high school pastor. I was the kind of crazy anchor man up there as well. My name's Pastor Owen, and not really sure, but Pastor Steve's like, you want to go up on Sunday and preach? They need some energy. So I am up here today, and I'm very, very excited for the message that God's laid on my heart. So a few weeks ago, Pastor Steve talked about love. And he shared about how many of us, sometimes our broken relationships come from misunderstanding of love by following wrong role models, or having an unreal expectation for certain kinds of love, because love isn't a feeling. Yes, you may feel it and you may feel lovey-dovey, but love is through selfless, sacrificial action. And Jesus calls us to love one another by how he shows our love, or shows his love for us, through difficult situations, by seeing somebody as a child of God. And so today, we're going to be looking at a few different stories about how Jesus shows his love. So for the youth students, when I speak, I love involving the audience. So I'm going to task you guys with something. With the first piece of scripture that I talk about, can y'all put your hands together? Because scripture is God-breathed, and scripture is incredible. And what's not there to praise and worship about scripture? So we'll see if you guys remember. I'll give you guys a little alley-oop, see if you can dunk it. But today we're going to be talking about how Jesus shows his love and through his life. So in this culture, when Jesus was doing his ministry, the way that you love somebody was completely based on family, location, your culture. So if you were to go out and love somebody that wasn't of your religion, wasn't of your race, different location, it was very looked down upon and shunned. And for certain religions, it was seen you became dirty. And so Jesus comes here, and when he starts showing this love and doing his ministry, he is going against the culture. Maybe today culture is saying you shouldn't love this person for a specific reason. Oh, this person has a messy past. Don't show them love. But we're called to live like Jesus. And through Jesus's life, through his actions, through the way he loved people, it was against the culture. Now, let's make one thing clear. Showing love to somebody isn't approving or supporting their lifestyle or their actions. I'm gonna say that one more time. Showing love to somebody is not saying you love, support, or uplift the way they live or their actions. Showing love is seeing somebody past that, past their sin, past their past, past their habits, and saying, I see you as a child of God. And we're gonna see how Jesus did that for people throughout the whole Bible. And again, not the kissy-kissy romantic love, but the genuine love for somebody as a child of God. So the first piece of scripture we're gonna look into is... I need a little more energy. I know it's the early service, a little more energy. The first piece of scripture we're gonna look at is... Amen. Let's go. I have the mic today, so I can tell you what I want. So we're going to be looking in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 5 through 10. This is the story of Zacchaeus. It says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down. Immediately, I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man, too, is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So let me see how many of y'all grew up in Sunday school. Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he. Yes. All right, I'm just kidding. That's not what we're going to be doing today. But Zacchaeus was short in stature. And for those of you that don't know, Zacchaeus was a Jewish chief tax collector for Rome. Now, some of you will be like, what does that mean, Pastor Owen? Well, a Jewish tax collector, so the people in where Zacchaeus was saw him as a traitor because Rome was taxing high taxes on the Jews. And so the Empire of Rome was making them poorer and poorer and poorer. And so Zacchaeus, who was a Jew, but also a chief tax collector, who would steal, who would lie, who would take from his people, the other Jews in the area. So he was hated in his community. We see in verse 11, it says, the people began to mutter, he's gone to the house of a sinner. Zacchaeus was so, he felt so unloved and disconnected and rejected because of the actions that he'd taken. And some of you kind of know the cliche line, hurt people hurt people. And so Zacchaeus, who is being rejected by his community, it's no wonder he was taking more. He was so rejected, he's like, you're gonna be mean to me, you're gonna call me names, you're gonna kick me out, well, I'm just gonna take more money. And it's just this cycle. Oh, you took more money? I hate you, Zacchaeus. Oh, you lied, you stole? I hate you, Zacchaeus. And he's just like, I'm just gonna keep taking more and more. You don't like me, I don't like you. Sorry, one sec. But Jesus comes to this town, and Zacchaeus, because nobody liked him, they're all pushing him back. He's a short little guy. They're like, get out of here, Zacchaeus. Jesus is coming. He doesn't want to speak to you. He doesn't want to see you. But Jesus loves those who feel unloved and outcasted. Maybe you're here today and you feel like you've been rejected. Maybe friend groups, family, communities, whatever it might be. Maybe you're here today and you feel outcasted and unloved. But we see here, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Those that feel unloved, those that feel outcasted, Jesus came to show love to those that feel unloved and outcasted. Because if there's anyone in a community that felt more unloved and outcasted, it was Zacchaeus. But we see Jesus goes straight to him. And remember when I talked about how hurt people, how it's a cause and effect, every action has a reaction. We see here, the first person to show love, what happens? Zacchaeus' heart immediately changes. Someone finally came up and said, you're worthy of love. I'm looking past all the lies, the cheats, the stealing, and I'm going to show you love. I'm coming to your house. Because when Jesus showed love to Zacchaeus, he wasn't saying, I support what you do. He wasn't saying, I back you up. But he was saying, you are worthy of love. No matter what the community says, you are worthy of love. Love can change someone's life. Showing love, showing somebody that there's so much more than their past, so much more than their mistakes, so much more than their sin, they are worthy of love, and we're all worthy of love. No matter where we come from, no matter how dejected you might feel, we are all worthy of love. Now we're going to look at a different story. So we see Jesus shows love to those who feel unloved and outcasted. The next scripture we're going to look at. Yes. Yes. This also makes sure that you guys aren't falling asleep in your seats, even if I'm a little bit boring. But we see in John chapter 8, verses 3 through 11, this is when a woman was caught in adultery by the teachers of the law. It says, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write in the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you. Jesus declared, Go and leave this life of sin. Now, I find this story so impactful, because when you really look at this, this woman was most likely drugged through the town naked, while the teachers of the law, the religious figures, were pointing out all of her sin. Look at what this woman was caught in. Look at her past. Look at her mistakes. Out of everyone that we read about in the Bible, this has got to be one of the most shameful stories of earth, someone who feels the most shame. Drugged through her city, the people that she knew, her friends, her family, were seeing this. And they bring her before Jesus and say, look at this woman's past. Look at her sin. Look what she's been doing. And they say, it says in the law we should stone her. And I love this. This just kind of shows a little bit of sass that Jesus had. But they're like, Jesus, look at this. This is what the law says. And he's just like, one sec. Scholars believe that Jesus was writing the sins of the people that brought her. And so he's just like, one sec, I'll be right there. Just, you know how much sass that is when you're trying to like prove a point to somebody, you're trying to argue, and they're just like, sorry, what? That's what Jesus is doing here. They're trying to point out all this sin, all the mistakes that this woman has done, and Jesus doesn't even give them the time of day. And this goes into the next point. Jesus loves those who feel ashamed and embarrassed of their past. So many times, there's actually a statistic that majority of people leave their faith because of people in the church. Now, I'm not pointing fingers. This is a statistic. But this just, we see here, the religious figures, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, are the ones that are openly gossiping and pointing out her sin, trying to shame her publicly. Maybe some of us here are embarrassed or ashamed of our past mistakes, past sin that we don't want anyone to know. We want to hide it deep inside. Now, this woman didn't get that option. It was public. But we see someone who was ashamed and embarrassed of her past. Jesus showed her compassion. Jesus showed her love. He said, where are the people that condemn you? Where are the people that are pointing out your sin, making fun of your sin? She said, nowhere. And he said, neither do I condemn you. Condemnation, shame, those aren't of Jesus. If you're feeling ashamed and embarrassed of your sin, that's not of Jesus. That's the enemy trying to point out every sin. You should be ashamed. You should hide. You should hide that from God. But what Jesus does is he goes to this woman and he kneels down with her. Something that I think is so cool about this story is when you're talking to somebody and you're trying to make them feel important, you get at eye level, right? When you're talking to kids, some people who served in the kids ministry, you get down there with them. Because if I'm looking at you and talking at you down there, feels like overbearing. But Jesus gets down in the dirt with her. And he says, where are these people? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're feeling embarrassed. Maybe what you need is to know that Jesus is getting down there with you. Maybe you feel like you're cowering in a corner, you're in the fetal. But Jesus is getting down there with you and saying, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. See, he's showing love, but he's not supporting the sin. He says, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Doesn't give her a list of all the sins she's ever done, all the mistakes she's committed, maybe her dirty past or dirty laundry. No, he says, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Jesus loves us unconditionally. I know we see that a lot, but to really grasp onto that, a lot of us, when we love people around us, maybe it's our spouse, maybe it's our children, maybe it's our parents, our family members, we can say, oh, I love you unconditionally, but 99% of the time, there's that line. If you cross this line, I can't love you anymore. You cross that line, I love you up until you cross that line, but we see Jesus loves us unconditionally. That means without condition, no matter what we've done, no matter what we're doing, Jesus loves us unconditionally. And we see that perfectly here. Perfectly here. The next scripture that we're going to look at. Y'all awake? Y'all are still awake? Is found in Matthew chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. Hold on, before we read that, so we see Jesus loves those who feel outcasted or unloved, and we see Jesus loves those who are embarrassed or ashamed of their past. So this next scripture, Matthew 14, 25 through 33, it says, and in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. This is Jesus, the disciples are out in the boat. In the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. It's a very honest reaction. I would be too. They were terrified and said, it is a ghost. They cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. I don't know about you guys, but if I was out on a boat and I saw somebody walking to me in a white robe and they're like, don't be afraid, I'd be like, whoa, hold up. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come out on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Now, it's very easy to look at this passage and be like, Peter, what are you doing, dude? Like, he was right there. But how many times in our walk of faith, we have our eyes on Jesus and things are going great, but then we lose our job. We lose our spouse. We lose somebody. Something happens in our life where there's wind and waves. And we start focusing on the wind and waves around us and we lose sight of Jesus. But what I love about this is it says immediately he cried out to Jesus, Jesus, save me. And what does it say? It said immediately. As soon as Peter cried out, Jesus reached down into the water and pulled him out. Jesus reached down into the water and pulled him out. How many of us sometimes we're doing great, we're doing our devotionals, we're praying, we're at church three times a week, and we're like, God, what's going on? I feel like I'm drowning. But we've got so caught up looking at the wind and the waves, looking how crazy our situation is, and Jesus is standing right there. We lose sight of where we're needing to go. But it says, as soon as Peter cried out, Jesus saved him. The next point is Jesus loves those who struggle or stumble in their faith. Maybe you don't relate to the first one, feeling outcast and unloved. Maybe you don't relate to the second one, feeling ashamed or embarrassed of your sin. Maybe you relate to Peter, which is so easy to point the finger. Peter, you have little faith. You didn't look. But Jesus loves those who stumble in their faith. Because I'm sure every single one of us at some point in our life, some point in our faith journey, there's been some stumbling. There's been times that we feel like Jesus, God's gone quiet. There's times that we feel like we're not improving. We're not going in the right direction. But faith isn't about speed. It's about direction. Keeping your eyes on the goal. Keeping your eyes on where you're headed. I love using this analogy, but when you're driving a car, if you spend all your time looking in the rearview mirror, what's going to happen eventually? Going to crash, right? Taking your eyes off the goal. What's behind me? What's going on behind me? Is it windy behind me? No, there's a reason that the windshield is so much bigger than the rearview mirror, because we need to see where we're going. Peter was going in the right direction. He was walking on water. That's crazy. But he was going in the right direction. He kept his eyes on Jesus, and it says, as soon as he saw the wind and the waves, he began to sink. As soon as he saw the wind and the waves, he began to sink. Maybe you've been struggling in your faith recently. Maybe you've been stumbling. You feel like you've been hitting roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. But it said as soon as Peter cried out, Jesus immediately, he didn't wait. He's like, I'm gonna wait till you get under a little bit farther. No, he immediately reached out and pulled him up. Maybe that's you. Maybe today you just need to say, Jesus, I'm tired of looking at the wind. I'm tired of looking at the waves. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need your help. Jesus, I need you to save me. Because even though we're struggling, even though we might be stumbling, Jesus loves those who even stumble in their faith. Now, the last piece of scripture we're going to get into. Amen. The last piece of scripture is the ultimate showing of love in all of scripture. It's found in Romans chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. It says, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one will dare even die. But God shows his love for us, hear this church, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Wow. Wow. God shows his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That means the whole process of the flogging, the torture, the crown of thorns, the whipping, the nailing to the cross, while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. Maybe you're Zacchaeus. Maybe you're the woman caught in adultery. Maybe you're Peter. And you're like, God, how? How could you have loved me so much? I believe when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was about to be taken by the Roman soldiers and he was sweating blood, and he said, let this cup be passed if it's in your will, but not my will, let your will be done. Jesus was seeing your faces. God was seeing each and every one of your faces. And he was saying, this is too important. I know they've struggled. I know they sin daily. I know they've messed up. I know they have a dirty past, but this is too important. Verse 9, we have now been justified by his blood. That is love, unconditional love, where every single day we're going to turn our back on God, we're going to sin against God, and yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For me, I grew up in the church. I grew up learning all the Bible stories. If the doors were open, I was in church. But when I was in high school, I didn't not believe in God, but I certainly wasn't living out my faith. And it was my senior year of high school. I felt a calling on my life, but I was just like, God, it's more important to be liked by people. It's more important to live like these people. They're going to like me. And I was talking to somebody and they're like, what are you going to do with your life? And I was like, oh, I'm going to be a pastor. And I'll never forget this. I can remember it like it was yesterday. Everything went quiet. And I heard the voice of the Lord say, "What are you doing with this life? What are you doing with this life?" And it was from that moment, that night, I lost all my friends, all the people that I was the closest with. I lost all my friends. But God replaced those friends with like-minded, Christ-centered friends. And I began to pursue this call into ministry. I went to Bible college, and I pursued. But I was living a life not for God. And God just said, "I love you. What are you doing? I've called you to a higher calling. What are you doing?" When I was living the farthest away from God, he found me where I was at. And he said, "I love you. I know you sin against me daily, but I love you. My son died on the cross for your sins. Jesus loves you." That's the fourth example that we're talking about today. Jesus loves you. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, can I just have everybody bow their heads quick? Nobody looking around. Kids, don't look at your parents. Parents, don't worry. Your kids will be behaving. And I just want you to think about the stories that we talked about today. Maybe you came in today and you feel unforgiven, unloved, and outcasted. Maybe today you're feeling embarrassed or ashamed of your past. Maybe you're too afraid to talk to God about your dirty laundry. Maybe you're Peter. You've been really pursuing God. You've been chasing after him, but you started to stumble. Maybe someone's in here today and just needs to know that even though they've sinned, Jesus died for them. Close your eyes and just let this be between you and God. Don't look around. Just listen. Maybe you need to hear that the God that created the universe, the God that created the world, his son went and paid your price. The law says the payment for sin is death. The payment for sin is death. And he knew that we couldn't live up to that. So Jesus voluntarily came down and said, "Don't worry, Dad, I got this. I know they're going to sin against me, but they're too important. You are too important to God. Jesus loves you through everything that you've done, through everything that you will do. Jesus chose you. Jesus chose you." Now, before we're gonna go into a song before we go into offering, but we're just gonna take this time and just listen to God. A lot of times we get so caught up talking to God. Just listen. Listen to what God's putting on your heart right now. Worship team's going to kind of go into this song and then we'll go into our offering time. But can we just take a moment? I got the mic today, so I got to see what happens. But just take this moment and listen to what God's trying to say. Maybe you don't have all week, but just take this next minute and just allow God to speak to your heart.
just thank you for your example of loving what culture would call unlovable people. God, I pray that as you were, we would be. That we are the body of Christ. In other words, we as a collective community are to live the way you did when you were in a body on this earth. God, thank you for your example of saying, I don't condemn you, but go and leave your life of sin. Help us to balance grace and truth. Oh God, as we celebrate Christmas and look at moving into the new year, I pray that this faith community would be like Jesus, that we would love those that others don't, that it's not about approving of their lifestyle, but it's about loving the person. Help us to love others the way you would. Help those that are going to family gatherings this year, and maybe there's someone they really struggle with. They don't even want to look at them. God, help us to treat those people the way you would. Help us to love even our enemies and do good to those that hurt us and pray for them and bless them. Oh God, we can't, you can, and we trust you. Give us that power to love others the way you do. So as we get ready to worship the Lord through our tithes and offerings, I just wanted to let you know what an amazing year it's been. In fact, one of the words that has been thrown out a lot is the word revival that people have used. And it's amazing, first of all, how our student ministry has grown. One of our big challenges is space issues. Where do we put everyone? It's amazing to see how the men's ministry has grown, how Bible fellowships have grown. So it's just been like a really incredible year. And as we get ready to move into the new year, I wanted to let you know that coming into December, we as a church were $7,000 in the red. So if you could, by chance, help with that, we'd appreciate it. Maybe this year was a prosperous year for you, and you would consider just giving over and above to help us end in the black. That would be great. But right now, we're going to worship the Lord through our tithes and offerings. Here's a few ways that you can give. And thank you so much for your generosity. You see me, you know me. We wanted to thank you so much for worshiping with us today. We'll have friends up here to pray with you if you would like someone to pray with you. I look forward to seeing you Christmas Eve. We have a 1, 3, and a 5. We also have Pastor Kelsey's going away party after the second service. And just thank you again so much for worshiping with us today. Father God, we love you. We praise you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to love people the way Jesus loved people. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I don't condemn you, but go and leave your life of sin. Lord, I pray that above all, that our church would not be known for a nice building or good donuts, but we would be known for how we treat people, that we would treat people the way Jesus did. We love you, Lord. We ask this in your name. And everyone said, amen. Well, thanks so much for worshiping with us. Now may you go in the grace and the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Have a great week.
You see me, you know me, you love me through.